Good afternoon and welcome to the 31st lap. I am Chris Marquardt, awaiting the arrival of John Baumas and the one and only Rich Post. We're going to be catching up with Rich here in just a few minutes. Rich making a return to the 31st lap. Making a return to the 31st lap here this evening, making the trip in from Canandaigua. Excited to be here. This is the first time that I've been at Weedsport Speedway in forever. I'm thinking that the last time that I was at the track must have been 2011. When I did some filming with Smashed Empire Films here at the track at the Cayuga County Fair. Beyond that, I can't remember the last time I was here. Excited to be here. The place looks amazing. And I can't wait to get some racing action underway. There's one of the Global Sprint Car, 98H Sprint Car, right here on display on the Midway. A band getting ready to take off here right at 5 o'clock sharp here. We're going to be with you for about an hour, give or take. RPM, Racer's Preferred Models here. The 124 scale modified replicas. They're here. Jimmy Phelps, of course, the apparel trailer, is here as well. Remarkable turnout already. The people have been streaming through the gates as we get ready for the Hall of Fame feature event tonight for the Big Block Modifieds and the Super Dirt Car Series. Hall of Fame ceremonies concluded yesterday. One of the guys you're going to have to watch, you cannot count him out tonight with a hot streak that he's been here on here the last little bit, is Danny Johnson. We're going to be talking about him a little bit later on once we see some of these guys making their way here. John Baumas, he said he's going to try and pop back by here in just a few minutes. Steve Payne anticipated to be in action here. I would like to be able to tell you a little bit more about who's in the pit area. We got here, we got set up. This was pretty much a record-breaking setup time for our setup here today. Set up in roughly, less than a half hour anyway. And good solid stream. I think we're going to be in pretty good shape here as we move through the course of 31st lap, number 125. You can hear the band playing in the background. The pits now have been relocated off of turns 3 and 4. I have not had an opportunity to see that format here ever. It used to be here adjacent to just over the top of the concession stand. And now that's all been converted into parking. They needed more space. When we talked to Jimmy Phelps, he talked about how they needed more space to put cars and fans. And, that has been a realized goal here. The vintage cars are also on display here. There's a couple of them that are here on the track, and we're going to be seeing those guys in action. We followed one of the cars in on the way here today. So that was good. I know we just got a note here from Rich Post. We'll see what he has to say. See where Rich is at. Pulling into the track in 2 minutes. Well, it's been about 10. Was hoping to get somebody over here. Maybe we'll call Rich and see what he's got to say. Hey, where are you at, man? You're looking at the gate. Just come down here to the far end on the other side of Racer's Preferred Models and the Cotton Candy booth. You can be able to walk right in. You'll see us sitting here. Yeah, down by the, there's a modified down here and down by where the bandstand is. I'm over here trying to carry it on my own, and right now everybody's watching me talk to you on the phone. Yep. All right, very good. All right, we'll see you in a minute. There we go. We had to do that somehow. We got a bearing on where Rich is now. He's at the gate trying to find his way in. So everybody's a little bit new to this. The sportsman cars so far have loved the layout of this track. They've been talking good things on the internet. There's Rich right there. I was getting a little bit nervous, thinking maybe Rich wasn't going to be able to make it. Well, we got a microphone all set up for you, and
that's scary.
Well, I'm not going to lie, I was floundering a little bit. I mean, we faced a little bit of adversity in getting everything set up today. We got here, we had to swing by Finger Lakes 1 and pick up the hotspot so that we had internet connection. We got that all set up and working right. And then we got here and we had no power. And we were frantically searching around trying to figure out how we were going to get this thing self-powered. And playing against the odds, we were able to get power to the soundboard and got everything set up. It just turned out there was a bit of a breaker issue upstairs, and had to take a minute and breathe a little bit because I'm watching the clock tick, and it's like, okay, now we're at 4:05, now we're at 4:07, and I'm thinking, you know, now at least we were able to get the power up and hit the button and go live. And I talked a little bit about some of the reconfigurations and everything, and then just my mind just went bleh, gone,
blanked out,
empty. Yeah, there was nothing there. There was nothing there at all.
Welcome to my world on a daily basis,
Coach. Yeah, I know.
It's okay.
It's tough. So, I mean, how have you been? It's been a long time.
Busy. Very busy.
Yeah?
Good, but busy.
I mean, how excited are you to be back here for this? I mean, the Modifieds are back here at Weedsport. This place looks awesome.
I was absolutely lost. Absolutely lost. I drove in the new pit entrance.
Right.
Which was fantastic. I love the split, you know, between the fans coming to the grandstands and the pit entrance, and everything just looks, you know,
this place looks higher now. I mean, you've got all new aluminum bleachers, all new press suites, all new announcements. I mean, everything that you know about Weedsport Speedway, Hugh County Fair Speedway, the port, whatever you want to call it, put it out of your head. It's all gone.
Forget it. It's gone. This place is beautiful.
The bandstand on the infield, gone. Now you have a clear shot across the track. There's a couple of big scoring billboards that are positioned around the track so you can keep track of what's going on. And the field that is expected to turn out tonight is second to none.
I missed the sportsman show with the 305s a week or so back.
But they had nothing but good things to say about this
place. Absolutely nothing. you know, they said they've got a few things that they need to work out. And the people that I talked to that were in attendance didn't notice.
Right.
That's... You know, so whatever the management has decided they have to work out is very, very minor.
Yeah. Minute in the grand scheme of things.
I'm flabbergasted. I mean, it's been...
I was trying to remember. Last time I was here, I was taping for... with Smashed Empire Films in 2011, I think. We did the Cougar County Fair here. Before that, I think it might have been 2009, maybe, when I was here for a race. 2010, presumably. But, I mean, they've been close for a while, too. So this grand reopening, they've had a couple select events here and there, hit and miss, with in conjunction with Super Dirt Week and some special events in the area. But nothing, you know, in terms of being able to stand alone and stand on their own. And in the grand opening that they had... a couple Sundays back there, that set a bar, and everybody's expecting some real good things here.
I would imagine they're going to raise the bar tonight. you know, there was not a prayer I was missing the Big Block show to reopen here for the first time.
Well, I'm glad you're able to come out.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
this whole thing came together
in a matter of hours.
Yeah, I'm kind of
still kind of. You know, seeing if we can line up a few people, and
we were trying to. I mean, everybody is so there's a weird tension here. You know, everybody. I don't know if they're just that concerned about getting their car so that it runs right, or if they're under more scrutiny because of the event that this is tied to with the Hall of Fame inductions, or if this is that they just want to run well in the return to Weedsport, or what it is. But nobody wants to break away from those last minute. Fine-tooth adjustments that they're putting into these cars.
No, I have been talking with Ted Barkham, whose father Cliff was inducted with last night into the Hall of Fame. I called him and said, you know, we're going to do from 4 to 5. How quick can you get there? He says, there's not a prayer. He goes, you can call me on the phone if you want to, you know, do a phone interview. Robbie Bellinger was leaving work and hustling over here. And he's not certain if he can make it over here because he still has to finish the car.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's one of those deals where you try and see what happens, see what sticks. Just keep throwing it against the wall.
Right. I mean, here we go. I talked with Mike a little bit.
Internet.
Mike was sort of a little bit of a player in terms of getting this thing put together for us. He's in Knoxville. I talked with John. And John said, well, yeah, I'm going to be there, so, yeah, I look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, seeing, not sitting.
We'll see you there. He's not going to be here because he's out working with the Dirt Car Series.
He's busy right now.
So he's running around hanging banners and stuff like that. So I got the okay from Finger Lakes One, and we got the okay to go ahead with this, but we couldn't get all the stars to align for all the parts and pieces to work until right about 2:30. So we were able to swing by there and get the hot spot and get everything put together, and here we are. So we've been on the road a little bit the last couple of weeks. We missed you in Weedsport.
I miss sitting down in the chair with a microphone in my face. It's a little really? Dangerous at this point to put a microphone in my face.
You've been doing okay with a computer keyboard in your hands.
Yeah. Well, a little too much, I think. And I think okay is a very relative term. But yeah, you know, I have... In my job, it's very easy to sit in front of a keyboard.
Yeah.
Very, very easy.
I understand that.
But it's nice to come back out, sit down, take in, you know, I'm listening to music. You don't really see that often.
No, it was pretty cool, the whole thing. My phone continues to keep going off, and yours just the same. On the plus side, I was able to get the better part of our fantasy football league season put together today.
Oh, nice! I'm glad that you're doing that because I haven't had time to do that yet.
No. Are you gonna do it?
Yeah.
You're gonna be in?
Yeah. Last year I started my own since nobody else is playing.
No, I didn't do it last year.
And I did end up winning my league.
Did you?
Yeah. I have no idea who I was playing against, so it wasn't all that much fun. I couldn't even brag about it.
Does it? That's brutal.
Didn't do any good. First time I win anything.
So how much does Jimmy Phelps get to brag if he wins this race tonight?
Oh. It'll last at least until tomorrow night. And then he'll line back up and do it again.
So many drivers have such a tall order racing tonight. I mean, thankfully everything's local, like the way that it used to be. Everybody's, I was over at Steve Payne's shop today picking up some graphic design work that was being shipped off to Massachusetts. He's running tonight, going to Canada tomorrow, going back to Canandaigua on Saturday. And said, after that, you're not going to hear from me because I'm gone for 10 days. I'm going on vacation. So, you know, I thought that was...
They all deserve a little vacation.
Yeah, everybody deserves a break.
Yeah, I'm rather excited because we're going to have all the stars and cars.
Everybody. I mean, how many cars do you realistically think are going to be here? I mean, I was having some conversation with Brian Sipple earlier today. He threw out the number 40.
I'd go 45.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically...
You're right in the heart of everything.
You're in the heart of everything.
Just the way that, you know, the way that Weedsport was back in the day on Sundays.
It's the Hall of Fame 100. It's going to be a great race. I know Ryan Soucy is strapping into his big block.
Yeah, he's making a debut
for the first
here.
Time. Absolutely. And that'll be interesting because he's run well with a small block. He's run really well in a sportsman car. And it's going to be interesting to see him get around here in a big block.
You know who else has run very well here in the past is Ryan Phelps.
Yes.
Ryan Phelps is very good at this
He's
track.
He's had a very successful all-star weekend here in the past.
And he's coming off of a win at Brewerton where he was able to go toe-to-toe with a couple of his cousins, you know, Mike Bowman and Jimmy Phelps.
Talk about those bragging rights.
And that's no small feat in itself. But the thing that's going to prevail over all the conversation is you gotta kind of almost automatically put your chips on Danny Johnson.
I'm going to tell you right now, I thought he was going to win at Ransomville the other night. Come up just a little shy. I mean, Billy Decker kind of outdueled him there, but he put a number on him up at Merrittville.
Mm-hmm.
And
that backs up his win. He won the big one in Albany, Saratoga.
Took Brett Hearn's money.
And then he won the next time out. It was the second time out after that. But
he's put together
a pretty good couple weeks here.
Absolutely. He's no points, running for wins and money. Big money shows only. And I can tell you right now, that hot rod he's got makes him, you know, without throwing a pick out there at the moment,
and
I'd
looks,
say he's...
The car looks like the old.
Yeah, that's old school. You know, the small block that they put together last year, they dubbed it old school. And the big block looks just like it. So I'm not sure if we've got a big brother and little brother old school or what deal is.
No, we don't. We don't want that. Because he went on a tear last year, didn't he? With a small block?
He went on a rip with that small block car.
Everybody was paying attention to what he was doing there. Hey.
What are you doing?
Going to sit down and... Do you want to sit down and share a microphone with us?
Why not?
came over to do a little pre-race show.
We didn't have enough outlet, so we couldn't hook up the speaker.
Nah.
But
they don't need a speaker. They got enough coming out of the speakers.
I know. I don't know, really. I don't know if we would have really wanted to go head-to-head with those guys anyway.
No, they sound better.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Occasionally. I'm kind of hoping we can get Robbie Bellinger over here if he gets cleaned up.
Right.
You know, he's got a new Super Dirt Week ride that's been put together. Ted Barkham's providing a brand new chassis and coming out with his father's old paint scheme. Breaking out the Barkham 11.
Nice.
The, you know, the all black with the yellow and red stripes.
Right. Yeah, we're good. We're good to go.
So, you know, that.
I don't know how
Jimmy takes a shot at Mallet.
Yep.
I love it. Mallet's in Knoxville.
You were talking a little bit about who was inducted into the Hall of Fame. You alluded to Barkham's dad, who was inducted. Also going in, Charlie Rudolph, Mike Colston, also among the guys that were going to be recognized at the Hall of Fame ceremonies last night. So I'm sure that we're going to be hearing about them, short bios and things along those lines about those drivers that were inducted through the course of tonight's program. Lloyd Holt also was one of them that was inducted into that, and then we've got the Hall of Fame 100 that we're all here awaiting now, and they're tuning up microphones behind us. They got the band warming up. The band's going to kick off at 5:00. I can't believe the number of people that are walking around here with cameras in hand, just taking pictures of everything. Everything holding still, it's being saved on film.
I mean,
or at least a memory card.
We're kind of sitting roughly in that old clubhouse right now, aren't we? I mean, I'm trying to get a gauge on
where we would be sitting. We would be sitting. Yeah, we're sitting where the bar used to be.
Yeah, right in the old clubhouse bar and
fitting.
I need rum. That would be fitting.
We're taking a flight out to Minnesota next weekend for 4 days out there with the Crash Course podcast. And we've already been advised. Have you ever heard of Performance Rear Ends?
No.
Performance Rear Ends, they make... I don't even know why I began to explain that. You can pretty much figure out what they do.
Do they make rear ends that perform?
They work real close with Mosier. And they make center sections, axles, axle savers, spacers, and stuff like that. And they've got a strong foothold in the demolition derby community. And one of the co-hosts from the Crash Course is going to be going out there with us, obviously, to do the show. We leave Thursday. We're going to go Friday, and he's driving a car at one of the local shows that Jesse Keel's involved with, and Jesse's involved with Performance Rear Ends. And then Saturday, we're going to Wadena for the team show, where we're doing the pre- and post-race shows, and then we're filming. But Thursday, Jesse with Performance Rear Ends told us, you're going to come to our house and we're going to barbecue, we're going to have a good time, we're going to drink a couple of beers, and we're going to finish the derby cars.
No moonshine.
So hopefully it goes in that order.
We're going to finish the moonshine after the good time?
No, we're going to finish. No. I know the order of everything. I know how we got to do this. We're going to be passed out in baggage claim when Jesse comes to pick us up, and then we got a 3-hour drive back to Jesse's house. So that'll be... It'd be a good time. Because we had the old setup would have been behind us for the wood, you know, outdoors press box. Would have been down a little bit from here. And over there would have been the old concession stand.
Right about where the 98H Sprinter is.
Yeah.
The Blaney Sprinter, isn't it?
It's whoever wants to drive it. You go jump in, it'll be your sprint car.
I'm not sure I fit. I don't know what kind of grease they got over there in the concession stand, but we're going to need it one way in or out.
That's not good.
No, it's never good, but I'll give it a shot.
How long before Rob Mortier over at RPM starts doing sprint car replicas?
I'm surprised he hasn't started yet. With the 360 contingent that runs around New York at this point, you know, they generally pack the house. You know, we got another big sprint car weekend this weekend with Yates County and the Patriot Sprints.
Yes.
And back at Canandaigua Motorsports Park for the ESS show.
How about that deal with Patriot Sprints in Ransomville?
I didn't see it yet.
Jason Barney came away with a win.
Ooh.
After the winner was DQ'd.
Oh, that's right. For an illegal tire.
Right.
I did read that.
Yep. There was some major... How about the
That's always rough.
Fulton Speedway came down plenty hard on somebody who was caught cheating.
Hagen, I believe.
And banned for a year. Found that the engine had been tampered with internally, and they said, it's not going to fly. Lost his money, lost his winnings. The wind didn't stand. Everything really went off the rails for him when that was found in the post-race teardown. It was, you know what, and that's the message that's got to be sent.
And, you know, to top the whole deal off, Can-Am has honored that suspension. They will not allow him to run there.
Yeah, it's
becoming more and more.
Would you have imagined? Would you have imagined that the suspensions, where things were with dirt racing? I mean, everybody was putting it down in the ground, done and over with. Over.
Oh, it was dead
in, you know, 05, 06. It was done and over with. To turn around and see that where we are now, where another track is adopting a suspension that's put in place by essentially a competitor, you know, because Brewer and Fulton, they work awful close together. You've got K&M that's sort of up against that.
That's three tracks right there that are...
You are not welcome.
And, you know, I don't know exactly where he lives, but it appears to be in his backyard.
But those are...
So, you know, it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough of a, you know, tough, tall suspension, but... When you get into a sealed crate engine...
That's the whole point of what the crate engine division is supposed to be.
It's supposed to make you a driver.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to... It's supposed to keep everything level. And when you start taking engines apart and installing aftermarket components and cheating the engine up, it's completely against the whole...
Defeats the purpose.
Yeah, completely.
And that sportsman division, since they've gone the way of a sealed crate motor, has exploded.
Very much
and,
so.
And that tells you, from the driver's perspective, what they thought about it.
The competition level has increased significantly there, too. I mean, you were looking at a situation where you had a handful of guys in the sportsman class that were really dominating the entire scene in their particular corners. You know, at that point, they had East Central and West sportsmen. That's all now is wide open. I mean, look at what Canada Motorsports Park has on a regular basis.
They're capable of, you know, they've got a full field to start every week, and many weeks they're sending people home. You know, running a Conti and sending somebody home.
And you've got a lot of guys that are finishing up front and performing well on a regular basis, but the winner circle certainly has had its share of new faces in it as well.
The one face that appeared rather often is faced a suspension of his own with engines, you know, while we're on the topic. And again, that was a pretty stiff suspension or penalty with no suspension.
Right.
You know, that driver is able to continue to compete, however, paid a very stiff financial penalty.
Sure.
Lost the motor, the whole nine yards. So, you know, and hearing from the drivers, they love it. You know, you hear the feedback coming out of that sportsman division, and they want you to catch somebody cheating. They want you to pull their motor. You know, they want to prove, hey, I'm running a legal sealed motor, and if you catch somebody that's not, get rid of them.
Get them out of the way, because it's detrimental. Detrimental. It's just not a positive. News crew setting up. Jimmy Phelps, he got cornered.
He got caught. Surprised he didn't take off and run.
He is right now. Look at.
I wonder which microphone he'd rather be in front of, this one or that.
That one. Guarantee it.
Well, yeah. That one might get him a little more coverage right now.
Yeah. At the moment, yeah. I'm just happy to see we haven't dropped any frames. We had a little bit of trouble when we were over at Rolling Wheels a couple weeks back when we had Jeff Hockman is sat down with us, spent a little bit of time talking and talking to Dave Farney. You know, off camera, Dave wasn't on the camera, but he was adjacent to Jeff, so they held a nice one-sided conversation, and they have a road clear. you know, it was fun talking with Jimmy the couple times that we've had him on the show, but I really don't think that he likes being in front of the camera that much.
No, and you know, to be honest with you, I drove over to the pit side to start, and you know, when I pulled in, I watched him over there running around like a lunatic, just, you know, pointing this way, pointing that way, giving directions to staff. You know, he's got to get in a race car at some point here tonight.
He does. I bet long about 6 o'clock, he disappears. He hands the reins to somebody else and says, here, you do it.
I'd be surprised if he didn't disappear as soon as he comes off camera there.
I don't know.
He's got a pretty capable team. He's got a lot on his plate tonight. He's having to take care of the race car and having to take care of everything going on here with the grounds.
He's fortunate in the fact that, you know, he's got a quality race team behind him with a quality crew that can get him set up. He can come in a little late and go out and hot lap and then give his feedback and get things where he needs them to be and still come over here and handle his staff and promote what he's got going on here.
And his stablemate, Matt Shepard, he's somebody that you're going to want to watch tonight.
He was on fire at Ransomville. Started dead last, and I want to say he finished fourth.
Covered some ground.
Fourth or fifth. and he was, you know, running tight with Friesen and Justin Harris for third.
Right.
Justin
was due for a good run, wasn't he?
Yeah, he kind of ate a little bit up at Merrittville. Didn't have the kind of night he's looking to have.
Well, the time before that, he was out and he had some motor problems. I think that was up at Cornwall.
I think he won at Cornwall. He won one up in...
Yeah, I can't remember where it was. He had some motor problems.
He did have some motor problems, well, in one of the last few races. And, you know, he's been strong at Canandaigua, as usual. That's home for him. But when he steps outside, he's still kind of...
Gary Tompkins has been running excellent at Canandaigua this year. I mean, it's been a great story this year.
I love watching Gary Tompkins run good there. You know, it's nice to see one of the good guys that's always out there, always saying hello, you know, always smiling.
Right.
Start running really well there again.
Sure.
And you know, he's kind of doing that with his own nickel at this point.
It's his own project now, yeah. And we talked with him about running his own equipment and then turning around and running for a team. Then going back to that, and he goes, "We're really not doing anything any different. We're doing the same maintenance. We're doing the same setup. You know, we're trying to stretch things so that they last a little bit longer and trying to be a little bit more careful, but we're not necessarily doing anything different, so to say. You know, and certainly there were some notes that you can pick up working with a team like he was with. And Gibici's right, you know, coming away with a bunch of big wins and coming away, obviously, with the Tour Championship, too. Applying that and making that stick and making it work at the home track and doing it on your own budget, it's not an easy task, but he's making it work.
No, and he's making it work real well. I mean, he's been, regardless of where you watch him line up when they roll out, he's a contender, and you got to know where he is. And it's not the way things have been over there this year. It's not a bottom side racetrack. It's not a top side racetrack.
Right.
You know, there's no place that somebody can't go on that racetrack.
Well,
this
I was
year.
Over there for the fair, for the Ontario County Fair. I actually got a chance to drive around part of the track, not because I was screwing around, but I got sort of turned around, so I was out on the track a little bit, and the track, it almost looks like turn three has been pushed out wider.
Well, there used to be about a 2-foot berm out there, and I know this because when I did have a sportsman car, I found it, and basically Jeremy went out and took the grader and said enough of that. That's not going to be good for somebody,
right?
So he kind of leveled that out and kind of feathered it out, and that racetrack in 3 and 4 is extremely wide,
and it gives you a ton of room, which. It's weird how narrow it is coming off of turn two, and it just continues to get wider, 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 yep. Wider, 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 and then all of a sudden you're 180 degrees back the direction you were coming. You're on the front stretch, and it comes up real sharp again coming out of turn four.
Yeah, it's a completely different racetrack on opposite ends, which is what makes it interesting. You know, you go out and run the top there, but when you're running the top in 1 and 2, that's not real far from the bottom. And it's plenty wide enough to go 3 wide.
Sure.
But when they go 3 wide in there, it's real tiptoe. I mean, you can tell who's been there for years and used to that configuration.
Steve Payne and Gary Tompkins went 3 wide there a couple weeks ago, and I think Steve ended up coming away with a win there. And
which is also good to see Steve coming back up and winning races again there. You know, for a decade, he was it.
It was a decade.
Nobody could touch him. And then he kind of faded a little bit and you know, he was a 5th to 10th place car, still running quality. The competition stepped up and got a lot better.
And well, he was doing some change. You know, this is the first year that he's had two of the same chassis in the garage, yep. At the same time. He would have a Tio and a Bicknell, or a Bicknell and a Troyer, or a Tio and a Troyer. And he still got one of the Tios kicking around. But that's gone back into the mothballs because these two HBR cars that he got have been running great.
Yeah, Are they HBR cars? Is he running those, or has he got himself a Higfab?
I misspoke. I'm sorry. Yes, it's a Higfab car. Yes.
And I can tell you right now, those things are good. Yeah. At Canandaigua Motorsports Park. You know, Eric Jaguar had a rough start to his season, went out and got himself stuffed up in the wall.
Right.
And he came back out with a new Higfab, and he's good.
Now, let's talk about that for a second, because he's not supposed to be racing, right? I mean, he wasn't supposed to be back this soon. Yeah, because I don't know if you spend any time reading social media.
He was,
because you do, and you can't lie about it.
what's social media?
Anyway. But he was talking at length about how I got a concussion, I shouldn't be running, all this other, the doctors say it's not a good idea, blah, 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 blah. And he's back out there. He's got the Higfab car running awesome with it. It was
thing.
The Higfab cars were in Victory Lane the same night. Steve,
yes,
and
they
Eric
were.
And then I think it was 2 weeks later, Steve won again.
And, you know, I actually sat down and spoke to Eric after he had that wreck earlier in the year. And his doctor was definitely not impressed with the fact that he races at all.
Well,
you know, he's if you know his history, he had had, you know, an accident, and he now speaks out about that for a living, and speaks out about the safety of, you know, work sites and whatnot.
Dig Safely Solutions.
Correct. And, you know, when he had that accident earlier this year, you know, it led to a few things being done medically speaking, and his doctor was very wide-eyed. He said when he looked at a few things, and, you know, Eric's attitude is, I'm just going to go live my life and do what I enjoy.
Right.
And that's what he enjoys. He enjoys getting in a race car. And he is definitely good at it. And that Higfab has made him better. Speaking of a Bomas.
Yeah, we just had a sighting.
Did we just see Bomas work?
He's walking away.
He's not here. I haven't stuck a few Bomas jokes in there in quite a while. I haven't been able to take a jab at him.
Are you going to come back to the studio at some point?
At some point?
Yeah.
Absolutely. As soon as this work thing in the city of Rochester is very.
So what are you doing now? I've lost track. Are you still working security in that building, or?
Yeah, I'm still running the Sibley building security staff. It's I enjoy doing what I do. I'm not so sure I enjoy the people that I have to deal with on a regular basis. But, you know,
how often do you have to deal with disturbances versus the frequency that you have to deal with in-house issues with your personnel?
Oh, it's frequent. It's a 50-50.
Really?
Yeah.
That many people messing around with the buildings?
Outside
trying to get in.
You have no idea.
You're right. Forget that's
the outside.
Asking.
Forget the outside going in. It's what are they doing outside?
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, it's a different world. And
yes.
I've done.
The hours that you keep would open to me a new world of Rochester. I'm not going to disagree that at all.
I've done a lot of bar and nightclub security work through the course of a decade and thought I saw a lot of things go on. I was wrong. The things that go on in broad daylight in the city of Rochester trump anything I ever watched in a bar or nightclub. Anything. So it's, you know, it's one of those deals where you can go to work today and wonder if you're going home. Realistically, you just don't know what's going to happen. And it can happen at a moment's notice. I mean, we got a bank across the street. Same guy robbed it three times.
Three times?
In a month.
Well, you know, the thing is, in that situation, once you rob it twice and get away with it, why are you going back to that well? I mean, you've already defied the odds twice.
Why are you going back to that well when the building right next door has more security cameras on?
Well, what are the odds of getting caught, really, right?
Oh no, he walked away the third time. He got away with it.
Oh, he did?
Oh, they found him later.
It was after the fact. So he didn't get away with it, per se. He just got away with it for a while.
Right. If he'd have stopped it, too, he was in good shape.
Right.
The third time's what sunk his deal. I mean, you know, the third time he raised the level of interest in chasing him down. And believe me, they hunted him down and found him
right.
rather quickly after the third one. I think it was less than 24 hours they had him locked up and back in.
See, that's
in jail.
That's kind of what I was alluding to. We got away with the first two times, and we was free 24 hours after the third time. It didn't pan out so well.
Yeah, it's, you know, some of the staff issues. You deal with a different element than you and I deal with out on our end of the world, you know, outside the city. And
actually, that reminds me, you were talking about things you've seen. I need to tell you the story about Brockton Fair and what happened in the pits that I didn't get a chance to tell you yet. That it's a thing of legend. This is one of the things I've never thought that I would ever see this at a motorsports event, period.
Worse than time travel?
Oh no! I was good.
I was good.
There was no issues whatsoever. There's a couple people that I know that wish they would have time traveled because they would be glad to forget that happened. But for sure, I'm making the assumption
this is an off-air conversation.
Oh, yeah, we can't talk about that on the air. That's if you guys want to know about it, by all means, I'll respond to a private message if you want to message me to the 31st Lap page. But I can't guarantee that we can talk about that on the air in any way.
That's got to be a good one. If we can't talk about it right here, that's got to be good.
Yep.
Must be good.
Jeremy Gulley's pink Cadillac. I don't have to cap it there, though. Can't get any more detail than there.
Pink Cadillac?
Pink Cadillac. Really, he had a pink Cadillac there. He had like a 1980, 81, 82 two-door Cadillac.
He destroyed a pink Cadillac?
Oh, he wasn't involved with it at all. The transmission actually was broken on it when he arrived back. When he got off the road, he had a transmission issue. So,
Bomas has officially worked on the show today.
Yeah.
Hey, John. Nice shades. Hey, how you doing, man? It's been a minute.
You do realize that John Bomas is now standing off camera, and no one else can hear him.
He's over here.
No one else can hear him. But it took a second for John came up and threw the pamphlets here that Rich is playing with. John threw those on the table.
It made a lot of noise.
And yeah, not only did it make a lot of noise, but Rich didn't know who did it. It took a second for everybody for Rich to recognize John.
He
hasn't seen him.
Well, that and he's got that
just
costume.
Just about a calendar year. Oh, the costume! Come on. John gives everybody the thumbs up. That's enough for John.
I can't wait to chase him down later and have an ice cold Miller Lite.
Yeah. Is that what they have here?
I don't know, but I probably won't have one. I got to drive home.
That's the thing. One is one too many, and one more is never enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stop at one. Never happens. And the way I drove here to get here,
I was impressed. You called me, and I was like, do I answer this or not? Because we were already a couple minutes late. So I couldn't hear you, and I said, we're basically going live. I don't know where you are, but we're on the midway.
I'm here.
Get here when you're ready.
Hurry up.
And then, I'm not going to lie, I kind of panicked. Like, maybe I upset Rich, and he's going to sit in his car, and he's going to put me on blast on Facebook.
No. You've got to enter a special class to get that. A very special class we'll call it human. And we won't go there here either.
Oh, I know. We sort of dropped some allusions to it. We alluded to it, we were at Rolling Wheels.
Oh, boy.
A little. I assumed that you watched that show, apparently.
I watched a little bit of it here and there, and in the little bit that I got to see before my son climbed all over the computer and did his fair share of destruction, which he was none too happy he couldn't come. He was coming to do the show.
My boy came. He actually.
I saw him.
He was on the air for the first few minutes of the show. He was standing there. I had to mute the microphone to say, go find your grandfather.
Which is good to see your father here.
Yep.
He came with us
Rolling Wheels. He's on babysitting duty until the show's over with.
And then, good deal. And then you set him free? Or are you going to leave him on babysitting duty?
Oh, no, I think we're going to... No, we'll all sit together in the stands and watch the show.
Yeah, I'm going to have to mosey back over to the pits,
I was kind of hoping that we would be... I was hoping that we'd be able to make some gains here, but it's been so busy. The schedule's been so intense. We were on the road 21 nights and about 35 days, counting our last outing there. So,
good,
I mean, 21
Lord.
Nights and 35 days, and then we've got more stuff planned for this weekend. We go to Ohio, and then the other cameras are going to be up at the Franklin County Fair in Malone, New York. So I'm in Sandusky, Ohio. The other stuff is up, north of Canton.
Good Lord. Do you ever stop?
No.
Well, and you're doing this full time, though.
Yeah.
You're still making the videos,
doing the videos, the magazine, the graphics, and then we're squeezing in these live appearances with this stuff too, trying to make sure that everybody's got a little bit of the attention, And I was glad that Shannon wrote back. She was energetic about it. Said send an email to the Speedway directly and let us know what you need. And basically, the only thing we need is two small chairs, one big chair for Rich, and power.
Big. chair. This thing's sturdy, though. I appreciate what they've got here.
These are the newest chairs I think I've ever sat in.
We've had a lot less to work with, like tires and rub rails.
That was when we did the parts peddler show. We were sitting on Jessica Power's car.
It was. I got a chair that day.
Because they were concerned about the damage it was going to do to the suspension of the car.
The suspension, the door panel, the rub rail. Yeah, you don't want me sitting on the side of your car. If you never got to see the side of my sportsman car, right where you put your rear end to slide in that sucker, it was all sorts of wadded up. It was a hot mess. It even had a fat guy bar brace up underneath the body. Hey.
Is that our cue? I mean, we'll give it a few more minutes here. So, you know, we got 10 minutes or so before we need to get out of here.
I was just going to work on giving Ted Barkham a call, but I'm not sure that's going to play out right now.
Let's start putting a fork in this thing, because I know that this is screwing up our levels and everything all over the place. So, you know, just real quick before we go, any thoughts on picks or anything for tonight?
Hands down, no questions. The
no
doctor.
Questions. Okay. I think. Now, are you going to have a parachute pick too?
If I have a parachute pick, it's Matt Shepard.
Yeah, so you're saying Matt Shepard's going to win?
If
Danny Johnson doesn't. So when Matt Shepard wins, you're going to say that was my guy, but I picked Danny Johnson.
No, Danny Johnson's my pick. But if the doctor doesn't win this, it's going to be Shepard.
Were you in the studio for the parachute pick conversation?
I don't think I was there for the conversation, but I think we've had this conversation numerous times.
Yeah, like
on air, off air.
Like I'm going to pick,
but.
And then, but if he wins, I'm just going to be the first person that said it.
Yep.
So my pick for tonight is going to be Jimmy Phelps. Wait, I screwed that up already. My pick for tonight is Ryan Phelps. Ryan Phelps.
Jimmy's your parachute.
Yeah, but when Jimmy Phelps wins, I said it here first.
Well, if we're going to do that, let's go get a roster. We'll just run it down.
We're
guaranteed to be right.
We'll split the roster 50-50. This is you. My seventh favorite to win.
It is what it is, but I'm going to tell you right now that barring mechanical failure, the doctor's the guy.
Yeah, I think he's got a stout entry.
He's good, and he's good here.
I'm looking forward to the vintage modifieds here too.
I love watching those cars here.
I just like looking at this one, the 42P that's across the way from us, the Gorgeous Lanes Geller Brothers car. It's got all the right decals on it too, which I like. I don't like it when you see a replica car that has the modern day decals, because it takes something away from it, and that's got everything right on it.
We could roll the doctor's car over here right now
and put it side by side.
Fit in with that car. Exactly.
Fairly close.
That's another thing I like. I drove up over here, and I see the first thing I see is the Blaney Sprint car, and then I see the Pat Ward car.
Yep.
And I look down the road here a little bit, and you got Jack Johnson's car. So there, it's good to see the Speedway working with the Hall of Fame again.
Oh, absolutely. It was a good deal.
Very good to see that.
Well, we did our part. I think we've covered a lot of bases. You know, if you still got a lot of time to get here. If you're at home, it's 5 o'clock now. Race time. Still got about 2 hours before we're going to be kicking off. Hot laps.
Plenty of time.
We'll be starting here in a little while. They got the band playing until 6:15. That is going to have to do it for us. For Mike Mallett, who is in Knoxville, John Balmas, feverishly working around hanging banners like crazy. I'm glad that Rich Post was able to make it out. Guys, we appreciate you being part of the 31st Lap Live, and we're going to be back in the studio next week. We look forward to seeing you. Thanks a lot.